And now we have letters and emails sent by readers to the Evening News.
The news stories about bad driving led to many comments by Evening News readers. We heard that more than 6,000 drivers were caught using mobile phones at the wheel in Norfolk and Suffolk. John Norton wrote, "A total of 6,201 drivers caught in 19 months. That's the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? I can look out of my window at almost any time of the day, and out of 20 drivers, at least two will be using their phone. It's time the law was properly enforced." Ted added, "This is every bit as bad as drink driving, if not worse, so why not a 12-month ban and a lifetime ban for HGV drivers?" Johnny65 said, "Zero tolerance, no mobiles in view whilst driving. If it saves one life, it's worth it. For those caught, confiscate the phone, take away the licence and a hefty fine for the driver. Clearly a small fine has no impact, as currently the chances of getting caught are so slim." And so many haters agreed, "The tariff should be similar to drink driving. The driver is knowingly distracting themselves and their driving will suffer as a result."
More readers commented on the proposal to cut speed limits to 20 mile an hour across Norwich in a major traffic shake-up. "So many haters wrote in again. The original blanket 20 mile an hour limit was abandoned in 2014. Now they're doing it bit by bit. Eventually it'll be on all streets out to the outer ring." Pavic said, "Norwich no longer a fine city, but a slow city." Ingo Wagenknecht observed, "The quality of driving by many drivers is absolutely appalling, and one wonders whether 20 miles an hour is still too much for them. I like to see cars being pulled up and fined for braking hard before indicating and turning off, as it's at epidemic levels. Some drivers hit the brakes and turn off without indicating at all. Others indicate left and turn to the right. I think they should be make the speed limit 15 miles an hour, just enough to pass a mobility scooter." Finally, Resident Smith added, "Humps don't slow my little city car at all. It's a waste of time and money."
J.B. Smith of Norwich wrote in about begging. "Could the authorities please do something about the increasing number of people begging in the St Stephen Street area? Last week, practically every day, between Iceland at the top of the street down to Surrey Street, I counted 6 people begging. And that's not counting the two on the opposite side of the road between Chapel Field and the corner of Marks and Spencer. With BHS closing, that entrance area has been converted into an unsightly bedroom. On Saturday evening, whilst waiting for the bus at the top of St Stephen's, people, including myself, had to be subjected to the harassment of a girl asking for money from everyone individually, followed by a male with a dog draped around his neck and shoulders. I find this all unpleasant and intimidating. I always give to collections for genuine charities, either in the street or in stores, having spent hours doing such collections myself over the years. I'm willing to give to several of the excellent buskers we have in Norwich who regularly entertain us on Gentleman's Walk and the surrounding area. But please, someone sort this out before we have to rename St Stephen's Beggar's Row."
Dr Sue Vaughan wrote to the Evening News from Little Melton, "The nearly 3,000 of us who signed the petition calling on Mark Davies, CEO, at the Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital to confirm that the bed closures made in August are temporary and that they will all be reopened, welcome the latest statement by Richard Parker, Chief Operating Officer, that the 3 wards will be reopening in October. We will be watching closely. The small victory is overshadowed by the implications of finding £17.6 million savings by next April from the N&N budget and as-yet-secreted Sustainability and Transformation Plan for Norfolk and Waveney, which threatened another massive reorganisation of a desperately underfunded health service. There is a rising chorus of voices pointing out that the NHS is close to collapse. Hospitals, community care, GP services, and the worst of all, mental health services. NSFT is into its second year in special measures, and still the number of unexpected deaths among their patients is rising. This is the result of underfunding and the often overlooked fact that such funds are made available by being diverted away from patient care to pay interest on PFI debts, to pay the accountants, lawyers and business consultants who manage the market in healthcare and the agency costs brought about by earlier unwise redundancies of the more experienced and therefore expensive staff. What a dreadful false economy! The other major unforgivable action of the government is to force savings of £20 billion over 2010 to 2015 and another £20 billion in the current five-year term. This money goes back to the Treasury and not, as one might expect, to make changes that would improve the service and make savings in the long term. It is no wonder the NHS is on its knees. More funds could do any number of things that would help. Sort out the loan sharks of the PFI, pay the staff properly instead of freezing their pay deal with the deficits that have developed everywhere, scrap the compulsory efficiency savings, but above all, dump the market in health, which is wasting billions. I'd call for a referendum to answer the question of whether the model of healthcare we want and how should it be funded. But the health industry has an army of lobbyists and control of the media and many MPs. All I can do today is to ask your readers to think who is benefiting from these changes. Follow the money.